So if you actually were in a Korean section Thursday, it's the same message that I'm preaching. It's about stress. But I want to tell you a story that I recently received a phone call from a pastor who baptized me when I was 14. He really made me a deep impression in my heart when I was a teenager, what it means to be a Christian. You know, it's funny, like when you're a young person, that's when you are so impressionable, right? So after talking with him that evening, we are starting our daily family worship. I said, you know, let's pray for the pastor who baptized me. And my son, Joshua, he looked up really shocked. He's like, "You were baptized?" And I said, "Yeah, Appa was baptized when he was 14. He said, "You are a Christian?" And Esther was laughing, and I was, laughing too. But inside, I suddenly felt this deep burden, you know, that, I actually had a kind of silent prayer to God. "God, please help me. Like, I really might want to make a deep impression, like the pastor did to me, that they remember what it's like to be a Christian, you know?" So, with that saying, I'm going to talk about stress today. So, here, you know, most people think that stress is all bad, but not all stress is this bad, actually. There are good stress and there are bad stress. You know, good stress, we call them eustress, and bad stress, we call them distress. So, eustress, they end up producing good outcomes in your body, such as exercise, fasting. Distress, there are two types. Acute, such as a motor vehicle accident. Nothing good happens after a motor vehicle accident. Your insurance rate goes up, headache and all that, right? And then chronic distress is a house mortgage, right? Yeah. Yes. So there are different level of events or different events in our lives that generates different levels of stress. So let me just go through them a little bit. The highest level of stress that one can experience is a death of spouse. Yeah. That, so what they did was they gave a score of 100 for that one. So next highest level is divorce, marital separation, jail term, etc. And death of a close family member is a 63. Yeah. Marriage actually is a 50 points. And some may say that's too low, or some may lie, that's too high. But that's what they say. Yeah. 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 So I'll leave it up to you and your spouses to discuss what the number should be. But when it comes to retirement, that's quite interesting. Actually, it's stress itself, 45. What are the two most common years that people die? The year that you're born, the year that you retire, actually. So if you look at the communities that people live longest, like Okinawa, Japan, they do not have the vocabulary for retirement. And I think it was a home mortgage over 100,000 was 31 points. Yeah. So another thing was changing your diet habit is a 15 points. But I'm not quite sure that is that low. Because, you know, when I talk about giving up cheese, some of them look like they're having a heart attack. Yeah, so I don't know. So we experience stress by neurotransmitters and hormones. With the stress, neurotransmitters such as norepinephrine comes from your lower nature, limbic system, goes up, shuts down the frontal lobe, and then the limbic system becomes our dominant brain part, and we become emotional. And then we become unbalanced. And yeah. So with chronic stress comes many diseases, you know. You know, do you guys know the term like 피가 마른다? Like, my blood is drying out? So this is a term that Koreans use When they have a lot of stress, they say, my blood is drying out. In fact, Koreans are 100% correct on this one. This is a 1964 Harvard Medical School study that showed that when you inject stress hormone to your body, your bone marrow becomes suppressed. We often see that when patients take steroids, right? And then they develop anemia. See, Koreans are really smart, right? They know everything. So they never listen to their doctors, right? See, every time I see Korean patient, I experience my blood drying out, you know? Yeah, amen. Amen to that, yeah. You like this Bible verse. A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bone. But my Bible translation says, therefore do not see more than one Korean patient a month. Yeah. I know. The Korean side didn't like that much. You know. Happens. So with cortisol going up, your sugar goes up, your cholesterol goes up. 2016, we found that it's because your insulin production goes down with the stress. And there are many pathologic mechanisms that you can go through with the stress, but it causes all related to many diseases: hypertension, diabetes, metabolic syndrome, immune suppression, opportunistic infections, you name it. So stress kills people. So not only physically, but mentally, chronic stress causes mental disorders. This is a very interesting 2014 UC Berkeley study that showed when someone experiences chronic stress, your brain starts developing not neurons, but the fillers in your brain. And then these fillers tend to compress against your healthy neurons, and so you have less of the neurons, and they tend to develop mental disorder. Sorry about that. I wasn't showing you guys this slide. But good example of a mental disorder that's induced by trauma or traumatic events is like a compulsive hoarding. It's a condition where people just hoard things and never throw things away. And, you know, when people go through traumatic events like Korean War, you know, they end up, you know, in fact, this is one of the questions that I have received last year among Korean adults. Oh, you know, I have friends or family, they do these things. I mean, they have trash in their house that goes to their neck, right? And, you know, Koreans, sometimes they go to, like, hotel and collect towels and soaps and shampoo. Yeah. They do that just in case there's another war. You know, you need a towel. And so that's so why does that happen? You know, I think that traumatic events, which is extreme stress, partially damages the frontal lobe. And then you become limbic, which actually triggers your biological survival mechanism, right? So instead of thinking logically, you're thinking emotionally. And just in case there's another war, like I need an extra shampoo, you know, that's kind of what happens. But this happens biologically as well as psychologically. You know, stress induces your body to store extra sugar and fat just in case you need extra to run away from the tiger that's chasing you, right? And then psychologically, same thing. When you have a chronic stress coming to your brain, what you're doing is you're trying to find something you can lean on. You know, I must confess that while trying to give two lectures a day to the Korean audience and answering their questions, that I started collecting towels myself, you know. not a good sign. So stress also changes brain structures too. So these are studies done by Emory that showed a very well-known study. Post-traumatic stress disorder causes a brain atrophy. Not only that, the trauma itself, the stress causes a hippocampal volume. Hippocampus actually reduces in volume, that you have difficulty remembering things. Yeah, and then also there's not only the atrophy, the function of the frontal lobe goes down. So that you have a difficulty making a right decisions. Executive functions go down. This is one of the reasons people believe that chronic stress, such as a financial difficulty, makes poor people, or not poor, but like people are less financially fortunate to buy lotteries more often because the stress makes them to make a poor financial decisions. You know, winning a lottery is very difficult, you know. I learned it from my own experience. It's just not that easy. And, stress also decreases blood flow to the brain. And actually, this, in the long term, creates a brain atrophy and ultimately personality change. So all these structural changes to the brain ultimately leads to unbalanced mind. This is a really interesting study that was done by MIT 2017. This study shows that chronic stress actually changes your brain circuits. Brain circuits are like highway of neurons, and I believe these are what our characters are. If we can visualize our characters, this is what our characters are like. Since we were little children, what we watch, what we listen, what we eat, and what we drink, they form a pathways. These are the pathways that you can communicate from one section of the brain to another faster. And then these pathways form produced as habits. And ultimately the habits become characters. So in 2017, MIT people, they showed that chronic stress changes some of these circuits. So how did they figure this out? Normally, when a mouse is healthy, in a less stressful environment, they like to choose a space that is darker with the less light because it is safer, right? And even if there's a less sugar to drink, less pleasure, less reward, they'll choose to go to the area that's darker because they choose safety over pleasure. Now, when you trigger stress to them, with the chronic stress, more and more likely they actually turn the other way to go to brighter area to receive more pleasure. So they figured it out. What's going on? What's happening in their brain? There's a circuit that connects the frontal lobe and limbic system. In humans, we call this frontostriatal circuit. So through this highway, the frontal lobe actually controls the limbic system with inhibition. But with a chronic stress, this circuit changes, and there's less inhibition from the frontal lobe to limbic. So, without common sense, mouse is just going after the pleasure only. So it's like going, instead of going to church on Sabbath, mouse takes a flight to Las Vegas for the weekend. That's what kind of happens. Yeah. You know, the purpose of the health message is that we may discern between our right from our left. Anything that lessens physical strength enfeebles the mind and makes it less capable of discriminating between right and wrong. We become less capable of choosing the good and have less strength of will to do that which we know to be right. You know, God gave us these 8 laws of health to discern between right from wrong. And I'm going to go through some of these laws and then see how they are related to the stress. But again, the purpose is that to lessen suffering in our world and to purify His church. That people know right from wrong that we are purified. When we follow 8 laws of health, one of them is exercise. So this is very, most of us know, that we exercise to reduce stress. And oftentimes, it's by the lowering cortisol level. Water is very important as well to lower your cortisol level. This study was done in Connecticut, 2006, shows when a person is exercising with enough water in their body versus slightly dehydrated, just 5%, that itself elevates your stress level more significantly. So you have to be well hydrated when you exercise. And sunlight is very important as well. When vitamin D, this is a very, still there ongoing, the study, it's not complete yet. They show that when people have a lower vitamin D, you elevate their vitamin D level, their cortisol level actually drops. And then it reduces your cardiovascular event. But, you know, it's very early study, it's a preliminary, but this finding is very, shocking. So they published the ongoing study at this point. You know, oh, sorry about that. I didn't click it right. So that was what I was talking about. Lowers by 40%. And temperance also lowers cortisol level. This is a legendary study. Dr. Mark Messon, he's actually, we talked about this when we were talking about fasting last year. He's a director of NIH on aging and professor at Johns Hopkins. If you ever want to find out about how to live longer, he's a person to ask. And there's this video, TEDx, Johns Hopkins University, Why Fasting Bolsters Brain Power. This is one video that is we need to watch. I'm going to hold it a little bit for you guys to take pictures. But if you need it, you can just tell me later as well. So when you compare mice So what he did was he divided mice to two groups. One group, they eat every day. And the other mice, they fasted every other day. And in every metabolic measures, like cholesterol, sugars, and weight, et cetera, they got way healthier. But not only that, all the measures of stress hormone, they went down significantly. But, you know, it was noted in the study that those mice that were fasting every other day did ask, when does this study end? No, I'm just kidding. They didn't ask that question. Yeah, I would have asked that question. So, air, you know, if you stop breathing, you die. I mean, that's just a fact. But what's really interesting is that came out last year. This is the first study that ever showed that air pollution is related with the stress in a sense that you actually reduce pollution, your stress hormone goes down. And it was something that we didn't know before. The American Heart Association published this study in Circulation, while the study was from China. It's some university that's considered to be Chinese Ivy League. Sleep is essential to lower cortisol level. You know, your cortisol level goes low around like 8 p.m. to like 2 a.m. And during the time, what happens is your body is actually dissolving the cortisol, the stress hormone that we have accumulated through the whole time. So what happens is, if we don't go to sleep early or stay up late, this is what happened. This is a study from University of Chicago, 1997, that poor medical students, I mean, some of you guys went to graduate school and then, you know, you've seen these signs like, oh, volunteer needed for a study, we'll pay you $5 and you can jump out of the window or something like that. And, yeah, you know, this kind of study that, you know, students did. They stayed up and they went to sleep 4 a.m. to 8 a.m. The cortisol level went up to 37%. And then when they stayed up all night, went up by 45%. 2017, Penn State shows that when you average out your sleep less than 6 hours, your heart attack and stroke rate actually goes up by 200%. Yeah. But there's something much worse than having a heart attack or stroke by not going to sleep early. I wouldn't know what to call this kind of situation medically, but just David and Bathsheba kind of stuff, whoops or something. But got to go to sleep early and don't look outside. Yeah. So, as far as the rest, the Sabbath, when we keep Sabbath, our stress hormone levels, I mean, stays much lower. And, you know, coming to CAM meeting and, you know, doing this, I'm sure many of you guys have experienced your stress level going down. Unless you had to do Q&A for Harmony and that was something, yeah. So, nutrition. I think this is probably the most important topic to cover today. Is that when we switch our diet from meat-based to plant-based diet, our stress hormone level goes down. This is an interesting study that was done in Europe, 2017. They measured the blood cortisol level while they are being processed. So when a cow is happy in the field of grass and just kind of hanging out with their friends, their cortisol level is around 4.85. And then when they are being transported, it jumps up to 36.36. Yeah. Yeah, in some countries they do that kind of animal abuse to do that. And then when they're slaughtered, it jumps up to 45.08. And that's the meat that we consume. Animals are often transported long distances and subjected to great suffering in reaching a market. Also, what we know is that when mothers eat additional red meat, not only affects the moms, but also affects babies. There was a time in England when a mother was having a pregnant-related anemia, they'll give extra red meat as a prescription. You know, we want you to double up your steaks, etc. Many years later, the babies grew up. They found out these babies that grew up with a mom who were prescribed to have more red meat, they had a higher baseline cortisol level. And not only that, recently they found out that these children end up having hypertension. Yeah. So what happens in our brain when we increase cortisol level in our body? This is the first brain scan study ever done after injecting stress hormone. So what they did was they had these patients or volunteers come, they inject stress hormone, which is hydrocortisone, medicine that we use. And then they looked at three categories. The red here, red line, is your thalamus activity, which is related to emotion. Blue line here is amygdala, which is related to like empathy. In the sense of Bible, it's actually more like fear of God. And green light here is hippocampus, which is related to memory. So you can see this. About after receiving extra level of stress or cortisol, your emotion goes up, the red line, for about 15 minutes and kind of goes up and down. And then blue light, which is your empathy, it kind of goes up a little bit, and about 30 minutes later, it just goes down. And then green line here is a memory. It actually gets activated and then goes down. Yeah, it's not a good idea to have a bulgogi buffet right before taking SAT. It's just making things harder than it is, right? Meat should not be placed before our children. Its influence is exciting and strengthening the lower passions, like the limbic system, and has a tendency to deaden the moral powers. Do any of you guys have parents when you guys are growing up? They'll say, I want you to find friends who drinks daily. No? Right. But Bible talks about this. Do not mix with wine bibbers or with gluttonous eaters of meat. Yeah. Let me ask you a question. What did John the Baptist eat? What was his diet like? What was that? Locust. So was it? Would you consider him to be a plant-based diet person? But he was eating locust. Is it plant? Is it a animal? So he wasn't quite vegetarian, semi-vegetarian. Like he had to eat protein by eating the locusts, right? Well, let's look at that more carefully here. So what John the Baptist says is locusts and wild honey, right? So sounds like this is what he did. He dipped the locust in the... It's from my cooking book that I got here. If you want to eat like John the Baptist, you have a bottle of honey, you dip the locust, and then you pray first for being able to swallow it, and then swallow it, right? Yeah. I don't think that's the case, actually. Spirit of Prophecy tells us his diet, purely vegetable, of locust and wild honey, was a rebuke to the indulgence of appetite and the gluttony that everywhere prevailed. He actually ate locust tree and its fruit. He did not eat the insects. Yeah. So there's a big mistranslation. I pointed this out to a Korean audience yesterday, because the gentleman who translated Councils of Diet in Korean, he put a like vegetarian / locust / not comma and honey. So like when you read it, like he was a vegetarian but he had insects and then honey. That's exactly what the Korean person translated. And I pointed out the translation should have been of locust tree and its fruit. This is how it looks like. Kind of looks like soybeans. Wait, we get protein from soybeans. That's right. Yeah. And the big, most important thing is, it was not the reason that, the disciples were fasting frequently. You know, people say it was because they were tired of eating locusts. That's not the reason why they were fasting. You know, they're simply fasting because they wanted to be physically and mentally healthier. So what was the diet of John the Baptist? Unprocessed, low advanced glycation end product, we'll talk about it. Low oxidation, low inflammation, plant-based diet. What he ate is a low cortisol diet. So what was the result of his message, and especially the health message and his preaching? This is from Desire of Ages, page 101. To turn the hearts of fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Oh, sorry about that. To turn the hearts of fathers to the children by activating frontal lobe and amygdala, by increasing empathy and tenderness, right? The disobedient to the wisdom of the just, by activating the frontal lobe to increase a wisdom and executive function, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord by activating hippocampus to remember that God's promise of Jesus' first coming. You know, this is exactly what opposite of what the extra cortisone did to the brain. You know, I gave a brief testimony last year, and I was unprepared for that one. So I'm going to give a little more detailed testimony this time. By the way, I'm not done. I have one more hour after this one. So I just want you, because I want you guys to take a little break after this, and we'll talk about something more important next session. But so, when I was in high school, my mother was a church treasurer. And then he told me that when you grow up and become a doctor, you must be faithful with your tithe, you know. And then I told my mom, don't worry. When I become a famous, world-famous plastic surgeon, I'll pay 50% of my gross money. You know, every time I write a check, you know, I'm so thankful that I'm not a plastic surgeon. You know, it's just, you know, for the tithe, it's like 10%. Oof, 10%. Thank you, Lord, you know. But, you know, after both my parents died in a motor vehicle accident during medical school, like, I felt that, you know, like, it's kind of like there's no ground under your feet kind of feeling. So I wanted to just fill that up with making a lot of money. So I took a job after residency that paid three times, working 12 days, took 2 days off, 12 days, 2 days off, like 10 plus hours, you know, getting paid three times more. I think I was working actually about four, even five times harder to make that. Stop going to church regularly, stop reading Bible, health message was out the window. But one thing, you know, I did not break was actually paying tithe. You know, I just could not break that promise to my mother. And then second thing was, you know, the way how my mom did it was she did a manual bookkeeping, and she used Abacus, and she'll do that. And then she'll write a check for tithe, and she'll put the money on the floor, the envelope, and she'll kneel down and pray like this. And then the way how she'll pray, it sounds like as if there's a hole on the ceiling and then just money's coming down, you know. And I wanted that to continue for me. You know, I want to make sure that money comes down for me. So I'll go to church every, like, once a month or every 2 months around 11:35 to just get there, drop the offering, listen to sermon, eat lunch, and go home for a nap, you know, for several years. And one day they asked me, you know, could you pay some of your tithe directly to church to hire a youth pastor? I said, okay. A few months later, I was asked, could you pay tithe directly to the church that we can buy a land for our possibly new future church? I said, okay. And I paid a whole tithe on the future income of next year. And a few months later, I received a phone call from a pastor that I knew. He said, Usak, could you support me for my ministry? I said, absolutely, pastor. But just curious, like, why would you ask me? You know, you have doctors and dentists in your church. He said, well, when I started church, you know, my members were younger. You know, they will listen to me well, but now they're much older. They don't listen to me anymore. I became really upset. I said, how these greedy doctors and dentists not give money to the pastor, you know? I said, in my anger, I'll give you my tithe to you directly. And the pastor said, Usak, you and I together, we can do great work for God. So I paid him the tithe because I've already stole the next year's to, you know, church building project. I did the 1 year after that to the pastor. So I sent him a check. So I was good for next 2 years of blessing of shower. Yeah, I mean, everything. I felt very confident. Life was going well. He said the work was killing me, but life was okay. And then a few months after, I found a consulting company that will help me to start my own independent practice. I always wanted to have, like, urgent care and freestanding ER, things like that. And the doctors who were working with the consulting company were doing great financially. I knew it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So even the pastor was like, this is God's way for blessing you and this ministry. So I quit my hospital job, started working with a consulting company to set up my own practice. Less than a week after I started working with them, I recognized things were done a little shady, questionably, yeah. But the initial thought was, well, you know, there are these other doctors who are working with the company and they're really doing well. Some of them 5 years, some 10 years. So I thought, well, everything will be okay, you know. As soon as I thought that, I had this flash of light kind of thinking that just came to me. It said, if you stay here, you lose everything. And I was so shaken. So for the first time, I went to file to look at my contract carefully. You know, I didn't even hire a lawyer to review everything. Because I was so like, how can I go wrong? All these doctors working with them and everything is doing well. It looks so easy. I realized I signed a contract for 3 years that I cannot run away. Like, it's just medically, financially, legally, I'm just, my name is all over, you know? And then I was so blinded. I just presumed everything would be good. Next day, I came to work, just more questionable things. And next day, more. And then I realized, wow, if I stay here and something happens, I'll lose everything. So I started fasting because I got so scared. I just couldn't eat food. Like, I had no desire for appetite. And then I prayed like nonstop. For the first time, I think I prayed like that when my parents were in a hospital dying, you know. And while I was praying for next, you know, several weeks, things were getting really bad. The youth pastor that we were supporting, he decided to leave, and church was getting into a difficult situation because of that. Because of the church land, church were struggling. The church members went from half to quarter. The later pastor quit his ministry. And then the pastor who I gave the tithe, he even had to leave his ministry. I mean, all I did was I gave him a check. But he left a position of many years. And I'm thinking, wow, like I have a plague that I'm giving to these people. Like, I'm doing a Satan's work, you know. And I thought, oh, there's no way God will save me from this situation. I'm stuck here for the next 3 years unless I move to North Korea. You know, there's no way I can hide. And then as I was praying and fasting, like all these thoughts, you know, like your mind, my mind was like calm, and all these thoughts were coming to me, like all the things I should have done right that I didn't. So I start confessing all my sins for next 3 weeks. There were quite a bit, actually. And I lost about 30 pounds or 29 pounds. And my mind became so clear at that point. And I just made just one prayer. I said, God, sorry for what I've done. Please save me, save my wife, my daughter, who was 1 year old, and my sister from me and my broken mind. I think I'm crazy. And I was so thankful that my parents were already dead, not to see me like this. So fourth week, I was praying and fasting. I wasn't fasting like whole time. I was fasting, and then I was just so weak, then I'll just eat. And then I'll keep fasting, you know. They call it intermittent fasting, but I didn't even know back then. One of the physicians who's been working with that consulting company for many years came to me and said, I'll take over your location. Legally, medically, financially. But the money that you spend to do interior renovation and equipment, you know, you just have to walk away. I said, okay. And I was able to leave that situation about less than five and a half week after I started working with them. About 10 months after I left the group, I received a phone call from a nurse assistant who worked with me there. She called me and she said she wanted to have me hire her. I said, well, you need a job from me. And she said, oh, you did not hear. I said, what happened? She said, oh, 2-3 days ago, or some days ago, FBI and DEA came. All 17 doctors, nurse practitioners, and pharmacists were involved with the whole situation. 10 months after I left. I was not implicated in any legal, medical, financial situations. Wow. When I heard that, I realized, you know, God saved me, protected me by telling me, if you stay here, you'll lose everything. Even before I was in trouble, even before I was sorry, while I was actually robbing his tithe to receive blessings from men. You know, when I was growing up, my mom prayed for me every day. Like, I'll wake up, because our house was kind of old and inexpensive. That, you know, these are houses where you go from one floor, half step to second floor, half step to like that. So from the kitchen, like, she'll pray. These prayers will come to my room every morning. And I'll hear it and I'll wake up. And, you know, I pray and then do my morning devotion. You know, I read when I was in high school and early years of my college, I read Bible cover to cover once a year, and Spirits of Prophecy, because my mom would wake me up with her prayer, you know. And she will always pray that Woo-seok will become sometimes I think I can hold it. And then sometimes it just happens here. But, yeah. But, she prayed that Woo-seok will become God's servant. You know, after my parents died, I did not want to live like my mom. She was the only Christian in her family. Only Seventh-day Adventist. And my dad, I think early years, trying to stop her becoming a Seventh-day Adventist, because he was embarrassed. Everybody said he was an idan, like cult. But while she was Adventist for 20 years, about 40 people were witnessed and became church members. I just found out this week, my uncle actually got baptized a couple years ago. That's my mom's older brother. I didn't know. I mean, we send him cards and stuff, but you know, we don't talk about being baptized, you know, and things like that. And my mom prayed for that family every day. So, the day my parents died, I walked out of the hospital with my mom's like a witnessing bag, you know, Bible, you know, the booklet with the names of people she was reaching out to and Bible study materials. And I was saying, I just wanted to be happy. I don't want to do this. Just want to be comfortable, have a happy family. You know, I don't want arguments. And then that when I realized that God saved me from losing everything by warning me, I prayed. God, if you give me a second chance, I'm not going to disappoint you again. I will give you my best. He decided that tobacco and tea were injurious and that his influence must be on the right side. He has given evidence that the Holy Spirit is working on his mind and character to make him a vessel unto honor. If anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he'll be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Christ does not bid his followers strive to shine. He says, let your light shine. If you have received the grace of God, the light is in you. Remove the obstructions, and the Lord's glory will be revealed. The light will shine forth to penetrate and dispel the darkness. You cannot help shining within the range of your influence. Health message was given that we have no obstructions in our body and in our mind. You know, there were 32,000 soldiers came to fight, but God only chose Gideon and 300 men. Why? Because Gideon and 300 men prioritized God's calling in their brain, the frontal lobe, over satisfying their thirst and hunger in their limbic system. They had a balanced mind. The 300 men had been preparing their mind and body with truth and health message. Then God gave those who were prepared the opportunity to make the loud cry. God will give us the opportunity to make the loud cry when we prepare ourselves with truth, the three angels' message, and prepare our bodies with our health message. The message, the third angel's message, is the burden of our work. It is to be proclaimed with a loud cry and is to go to whole world in both home and foreign fields. The presentation of health principles must be united with it, the third angel's message, but not be independent of it or in any way takes its place. First is a third angel's message, but the health message has to go together. When the third angel message of Revelation 14 comes together with the health message, the loud cry of the Revelation 18 will happen among us. And for this reason, temperance finds its place in the work of preparation for the second coming of Jesus. Let's pray and then we'll take a little break after this. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for sending us your Son Jesus to show us and to teach us right from left. And thank you for giving us a message that we need to walk straight toward the New Jerusalem. We desire to be like you, desire to be cleansed of ourselves and be filled with your thoughts, with your tastes, and with your desires. Help us to make the praise that you deserve, the loud cry. We pray the good works that you have started in us by the mighty power of the Holy Spirit will be complete in us. I pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.